Hello and welcome to Split Second, presented by ZerkOps. I am Sean Whitfield. Joining me as the co-host and owner of ZerkOps, Tammy Zerk. Hello, Tammy.
Hello.
Well, it is hard to believe. We've done what? This is our third one today?
I think it's fourth.
Fourth. It's going quickly. Are you enjoying it so far?
I am.
Well, good.
Yes, I'm having to stay on my toes now and get all my information organized.
Well, this is a podcast that we just put together not long ago, and you're going to walk away and you're going to think, you know, I didn't get everything in, but just be reminded, we're going to be doing this on a weekly basis. So there's going to be plenty of opportunities to get it all in. And folks, we want to thank you for taking your time to listen to Split Second, presented by ZerkOps. And Tammy, the last time we were together on the previous podcast, we talked about situational awareness. We quickly determined that this was going to be a two-part series because we couldn't possibly get it all in one podcast. So let's continue that conversation about situational awareness.
Right. Okay. So last time we did cover a few bases on fake uniforms, pretty much all the ways, easiest ways to get to you without you having your guard up. So fake uniforms, fake car accidents. But today we're going to kind of move into different situations you do on a regular basis. For instance, when you're walking across a parking lot, I see a lot of teenagers and even adults that are walking across the parking lot. They're either talking on their phone or they're texting on their phone, but either way, all their attention is on that device. So before we even start this segment, I need you to think of Mr. Creepy, whoever the bad guy is. Picture him as that vulture that's sitting up on the power line looking for his next meal. So if you're walking across that parking lot and you are not paying attention to anything going on around you, guess what that is? That is the perfect next meal. That is an easy target. So keeping that head up, looking around, paying attention, right? So you're not an easy target. And later we're going to be talking about body language, because one of the big things about you being picked as a victim is your body language. You got to know how to not look the part of being an easy victim. So we'll touch base on that later. I wanted to talk about, you know, when you're out grocery shopping, you know, a lot of times you'll come, you'll get to your trunk, you'll start putting your groceries in. You're not paying any attention to anything going on around you. But you need to, because you've seen videos on, you know, YouTube and Facebook and all these other places of people being attacked while they're putting groceries in their trunk. Are people stealing groceries out of their trunk, standing right behind them, you know, kind of like right in their face, and they don't even know it. So you need to pay attention. How easy is it to throw you in your own trunk and drive off in your car with you and your groceries? You know,
I realize that this can happen. However, how often does it happen? Do you have any ideas of any kind of statistics or anything like that? Or is it mainly a problem in big cities?
Well, I don't know. I've actually heard stories from some of the people that come in through our classes.
Okay.
Of them. This was a funny story, but we had a guy talking about he was standing there putting groceries in his trunk and didn't realize that the car next to him was actually the guy was just reaching over and taking little bags out of his trunk and putting it in his trunk. And he only found out because someone across the aisle saw it happen and kind of motioned to him. And then it wasn't even 3 days later, I saw a Facebook video posted of an elderly gentleman putting his groceries in the trunk and someone doing the same thing to him. Mm-hmm. So I don't know how often it happens. I just know that it does happen.
So would you say that elderly, senior citizen age, or women are primarily the targets?
That's what I believe. That's my personal opinion.
Yeah.
Because they're perceived as easier. I recommend elderly a lot of times because they do get nervous and they can't defend themselves in the same way physically. But when they're going out to the car to put their groceries in, you know, have the bag boy or whoever's doing that take your groceries out with you, put it in the trunk, and ask them to stand there until you get in your car and lock your doors. Mm-hmm. You know, any little thing helps. But again, we have lots of senior citizens coming through our classes And I'm going to tell you, some of them are really feisty. We know they weren't born yesterday. they have skills. A lot of them have guns, and they know how to use them.
Would you recommend perhaps a woman that's walking out, she's carrying a handbag, maybe to have her hands on some pepper spray? Is that worthwhile to do?
It is. If you have a way of not letting your purse or whatever be seen, is even better, like hiding it in your buggy, or if you can just take your card in and not your whole purse. There's different suggestions, but okay. Just looking confident is a huge thing. Like, you're just too much trouble to mess with. Mm-hmm. Is important.
That's the way everybody looks at Tammy when she's in a grocery store parking lot. I don't want to mess with that lady.
I don't want to talk to her.
She looks mean.
No, I try not to. I have been told sometimes that I might have that whole, you know, RBF thing going on, but it's usually when I'm just not paying attention. But there's a lot of little things. The biggest thing is your situational awareness, like I said before, is your best defense. You paying attention, not just looking in front of you, but like we're going to talk about in a little bit, learning how to recognize if something doesn't feel right. Mm-hmm. And if something doesn't look right, you need to pay attention and do something about it. Mm-hmm. And you said you had made a statement of, boy, I bet you're the most paranoid person in this entire city walking around. And it's not really like that. It's like, yeah. Once I talk about the training your brain. Train your brain to pay attention, to when it doesn't feel right, when it doesn't look right. It's not like everywhere you go that's going to happen.
Yeah.
It's more of you doing something about it when it does and not just ignoring it. Mm-hmm. And that's the biggest thing.
One thing that I've caught myself, and I haven't done this in a long time because I hadn't put myself in this situation, but when you go to a very busy place, maybe it's a club or something like that, it's on a Saturday night, you've been out with some friends, it's a very crowded place. Mm-hmm. I've oftentimes taken a survey, just casually seeing, looking thoroughly at my surroundings, also trying to determine where their exit doors are. In case something happens, we need to get out quickly. How do we do that? Where do we go? That's one thing I've noticed myself doing.
Yeah, I'm so glad you said that, because that is a huge part of our classes. Every time you walk into a place you have never been, you need to immediately make a little mental note of how many ways are there out of this building, right? Mm-hmm. Statistics show that people that have been locked away, that just because the door they came in was locked, they were trapped in their mind. They were inside the box. There could have been a window. There could have been a ceiling they could get out of. They could have had drywall they could get out of, through a lot of different ways, but they were mentally trapped. So just making sure you train your brain again to step outside that box, to go up to that 30,000 foot view and look at your situation. There's always a way out. You may have to wait on it. You may have to create it. But the point is you never give up, you don't stop fighting, and you never lose hope. We know that once you lose hope, it's that whole 3-second rule. You lose hope and you stop fighting, you're probably going to stay right where you are, mm-hmm. Forever. So,
and these are all topics that people can get more information about if they sign up for classes at ZERCOPS.
Right. All of our defense classes, we have a very thorough section on situational awareness. So it covers a lot of these bases and some extra ones. There are some that we talk about very female specific. Mm-hmm. And we have to teach our male and our females different in the defense. Obviously, just be real. Majority of guys are not going to have somebody try to chase them down and take their clothes off. That's reality. So they have to learn to fight differently in mm-hmm. the classes.
All right. What are some other things that we need to make sure we let folks know about?
Well, just little tips. Something I see people doing all the time is they'll just immediately put all their groceries in their trunk, and then they get in their car and they just sit there looking at their receipts, not paying attention or texting. And, at least make sure you lock your doors first before you do that, before you zone out. Another thing, just for the young moms out there, moms are very, very vulnerable when they are putting children in car seats. especially if that child doesn't want to get in that car seat. They're crying, they're pitching a fit, or they have more than one child. All of their focus is right there. The easiest time to attack or rob a young mom is in that moment, because she doesn't have a whole lot of defense going on, you know? So just keeping your head up, and they do need to have some kind of training. They need to have some kind of weapon, something that when they're caught off guard, they can do something, you know? Because we all know that when a mom is defending her babies, there are no rules. There is no, there's no guidelines. There is nothing in this world.
Or their dogs.
That can put her inside that box. You know, when I say anything goes in that moment, you know, you just better watch out. Little moms are vicious.
You may have seen that constant replay. It was in the national news long ago where this bear was up on the wall and he was going to go after the little dog. And that woman took off like she didn't care what it was going to be like to fight that cub.
Yeah, pushed it off the wall.
Yeah.
And now there's a meme going around of the mama bear knocking on the door going, hey, I need to talk to the one that pushed my cub off the wall.
Tammy, what do you think about this idea? Most people have a keyless entry for their automobile. Mm-hmm. There's a panic button on there. How would that be to keep that right there near your finger and hit that panic button, sets off the car horn if something happens?
I think it's a great idea. I tell ladies, especially all the teenage girls, anybody really, there's a lot of apps on your phone. I mean, because you already always got your face in your phone, that you just push a button. Like I have one on mine that there's three different levels. You can push, there's a yellow button for, you know, just making someone aware, catching up, you know, aware of where I am. There's different colors of buttons for different reasons. Hey, just letting you know I'm here safe. Hey, I'm a little bit cautious. I'm nervous. I just would need you to know my GPS location. And then there's a full panic button that, you know, and all three of them has video, audio, GPS location, sends a text message and an email to whoever you put on that list. And it's not an immediate, you're going to help me in this very moment, but it's at least information that someone can use at a later date to defend you or find you or whatever. So
yeah, we are up against a break, but is there any last thing you would like to share related to situational awareness?
No, I think the next section that we're bringing in is going to really clear up a lot of things on the basic foundation of situational awareness, and that is body language, yours and theirs.
All right. That sounds great. We have a special guest here with us today in the studio that we're going to be introducing when we come back after the break. We're going to discuss body language and what exactly does that mean? And we've got Ron Zirk is going to be joining us, and he's going to tell us all about it. We've got all that and more coming up today in Split Second presented by Zirk Ops. More to come after this brief message.
If you have turned the TV on in the past year, then I don't have to explain the importance of learning self-defense. Here at Zirk Ops, we offer classes for all ages, children, juniors, women only, co-ed, and seniors. All of our classes are handicap friendly. No matter your age, size, or physical fitness level, we have a class for you. It is important that you know how to defend yourself exactly as you are. Check out our classes at zirkops.com.
As we continue, I am Sean Whitfield along with Tammy Zirk, and we just got through discussing situational awareness part two. And Tammy, I would believe that in the near future there'll be a part three. Is that safe to say? This is a topic that we could probably talk on for several podcasts.
Yes, because I get new ideas every time I have a class because of people's questions in the classroom of situations that they've been involved in. And especially in the defense classes and the handgun carry permit classes. Yeah. Those people provide a lot of information for things people need to know about situational awareness.
Yeah, so folks out there listening today, be sure and go to zirkops.com for more information. You can sign up for these classes and get into much greater detail and also discuss all the do's and the don'ts, because there's a lot of things if you make sure you don't do, you don't find yourself in those situations.
Yes.
as we continue, we're going to discuss another topic called body language, and our guest today is Ron Zirk. He is a lifelong police officer. He's got titles that we could go on, Tammy, for a while. Yeah. He is your husband. He's a co-owner of Zirk Ops. The list just goes on and on. Ron, welcome to Split Second.
Thank you for having me.
Well, you're welcome. It's a pleasure having you here in the studio with us. I know you're going to be somebody that we're going to be talking to on a regular basis because you are a wealth of knowledge, and I'm looking forward to also discussing with you the side of your world that is the police world. That is a fascinating world that I'm sure a lot of people would enjoy hearing, but you are a instructor there at Zirk Ops, and today we want to talk about body language, but before we do, tell us a little bit about yourself.
Well, let's start kind of from the beginning.
In just a few minutes.
The credentials, I guess.
You take orders from your wife, Tammy.
I do that very well.
Yes, he does.
I do what I'm told. Do what you're told is easier. She enters the room, I just start jumping, you know, expecting it to be as high as possible.
Saying yes, ma'am, yes, honey.
Do it all,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, all right.
So a little bit about me and kind of the credentials that allow me to speak on this is I've been a police officer now for 24 years, and I'm extremely passionate about that. So I started out inside the Hamilton County Jail, spent almost 5 years in the jail, and got an opportunity to go to Toledo, which is the Tennessee Law Enforcement Training Academy in Nashville. While up there, I got to be the class president and of my class, and that class gives you the certification to be a police officer on the street. From there, I came back here in Hamilton County and was a deputy here and got recruited by the Tennessee Highway Patrol to be a state trooper. I went back to Nashville, went through Trooper Academy, got to be the class president. And then I started working in Marion County as a deputy in Marion County. And from there, I was doing a lot of meth lab work there in Marion County. And from there, I got an opportunity to go to work for the Chattanooga Police Department. I went through their police academy as well and got to be the class president there as well.
So what year did you begin your law enforcement?
1997.
And of course there was a lot of different steps there across your career. When did you begin with the Chattanooga Police Department?
2005.
Okay. All right.
In 2005. And from there, after I went through the academy, I got put on patrol, of course. That's where you go, and that's where you need to go, right, as a rookie for that department. Mm-hmm. I patrolled in what's called the Fox Team area in that time, which was Eastlake. From there...
So you were really tested your police skills. That's a little bit of a challenging area at times, I'm sure.
Oh, yes. I'm very passionate about the people who live and work in that area. There's a lot of stigma in that area, but there's some beautiful, wonderful people who are trapped socially and economically in that area.
Yeah.
From there, I got an opportunity to switch divisions, and I went to the training division. And that's where I am now as a senior master instructor at the Chattanooga Police Department. And I get to yell and scream at new recruits. That's what I do. We jokingly say that these kids are going to cause me to have throat cancer. I just know it. I yell and scream at them the entire time. You know, they think I hate them, but I really love them. They're really good young people and get into a really challenging profession. So I'm super passionate about that. Nowadays, I'm really nothing more than a teacher of police. And the things that I do is defensive tactics and use of force and EVOC and those kind of EVOC is emergency vehicle operations. And some of the heavy hitting classes and some of the stuff that you see on the news all the time, especially with use of force. I do expert opinions for that. So when
new police officers get started in the training, I guess you've got them scared to death. To start off with?
We prefer to call that stress inoculation.
Oh, okay. But when you're done, you have created a new individual, I'm sure.
Yes, and that's the neat part about the police academy is, again, we're pretty rough on them in the beginning. Stress inoculation is key, right, because they're going to be going into a very stressful world, making decisions, real-world decisions. And those decisions that they make carries lifetime consequences. Mm-hmm. So again, we're very passionate about that. The Chattanooga Police Department's training division is making sure that those young men and women are geared up and ready to go for the street.
And how long is that take to go through?
And that depends too on what part of the year it is, how holidays fall. Usually somewhere 18 to 22 weeks, depending on how things fall.
So there is a big investment to train a police officer.
Yes, and that's
the amount of man hours.
Yes, you would be surprised at how many man hours go into it. And again, not speaking for the department, but speaking just as a police officer, the amount of training that we need needs to be quadrupled. And just there's so many things going on in the world these days, and so many different avenues, and you know, the training just never stops, and it shouldn't, because we're always advancing, always getting better, learning new skills, learning new ways to solve crime, that kind of thing. Great.
So people out there listening, you can just see, or you can hear now how we have just described an individual that knows what he's going to be talking about, and that is about body language. And so, Ron, let's get started on that subject, please.
This is a huge, huge topic, especially for me being a use of force guy and defensive tactics guy. So one of the things, of course, we want to kind of gear this towards a more civilian kind of context. And it's pretty basically the same thing for police too. It's to generalize. And what we'll do is I'm going to look at micro and macro observations of a body language. The first thing is awareness is a good habit to have. I heard you say earlier that you get to looking at doors and where are the doors, how can we get out here? That's a great habit. Any kind of awareness habit that you can get is great for you. The next thing is you need to tune in to those feelings. If something feels bad, it is bad. You may not be able to put your finger on it, understand exactly what's going on, what's making me feel anxious, something in this room, something in this environment, something's going on that's causing me to feel anxious. What is it? I may not be able to figure that out at the time. It might come to me later, or I may never know. But tune into those feelings. We talk about tune into those feelings so you don't get taken out, right? Tune in so you don't get taken out. Just keep your head on a swivel. That's the big thing. Now we start looking at macro observations. For situation awareness, how do I learn about body language? This is such a huge elephant. It's not just an elephant. It's a whole herd of elephants. So if we're going to eat that entire herd of elephants, we need to like get really big. So the macro observations is going to be the environment. We talk to officers and civilians too about what's the environment. The environment should be the number one consideration when you start looking at body language. Body language has to be taken into context. What is the situation? A person's behavior is directed, is influenced by environment. What is the environment right now? Something as simple as, what's the temperature? What's the temperature of the room? What's the temperature of the environment that I'm in? We know that heat agitates and it creates different kinds of behavior. Cold does the same thing. Am I inside the building? Am I outside the building? So my environment is very, very important in understanding not only my feelings and emotions at the time, and that's pretty much what body language is being able to read physical emotion. And then, of course, you can see emotion, right? Everybody knows you pull up to a traffic light and you look over and you see a mom, and you know what's going on inside that car from looking at mom's face. Mm-hmm. If those kids look like statues in the back, then they've probably been in some trouble back there. This is kind of like the same thing. What's my environment? Am I inside the building? Am I outside the building? What's going on? What's the temperature? Is it sunny outside? Is it raining outside? Is it cold? Is it light? Is it dark? All those are factors that influence behavior and emotion. And those are direct responses to body language, how my body operates. I know I'm on the beach. I'm probably a whole lot better to deal with than if I'm, you know, in sub-zero degree weather. I'm trying to get to my car and I can't feel my hands. The same kind of concept as that. Mm-hmm. The next idea is terrain. What type of terrain I'm in? And that's this is what I want to point out is this is macro observations. This is huge, like 30,000 feet observations. We're going to get more down into the trenches as we go along. But the terrain, what does it look like? Am I in a grassy area? Am I in a parking lot? What is my terrain? Am I in a muddy area, rainy area? What's going on? Those are also direct influences on what's going on at a 30,000 foot snapshot of body language. Situation, what kind of situation am I in? Am I at a party? Am I at work? Am I shopping? And Miss Tammy was talking about shopping out in the parking lot. That's important. What environment am I in? What is the terrain that I'm in? And that directly impacts the body language that I'm going to be observing from other people. And I think that's key in your observation is am I taking this in context? The way that we might act at, say, a NASCAR event might be different than we would act at church. So those environments are going to directly affect behavior. And our ability to analyze that behavior in others is a key element to what's going on. What's the situation that's happened to me at the time? And then we get down into individuals, right? So we look at the individuals in that place. Do we observe people who are, say, out of place or maybe doesn't fit into the environment? And one key factor is that is how a person is dressed. If it's 150 degrees outside, right, it gets really hot here in Chattanooga, right, during the summertime. Be 100 degrees outside and just as muggy as it can be, just feels like you're breathing water, and you look over and a person has a jacket on, has a big parka on, and you drive downtown and be like, what's going on? That person doesn't fit in. It's hot out here and you've got five layers of clothes on. Mm-hmm. That just don't fit in the environment. That should be an emotional regulator for you to go, what's going on in this situation?
If you're somewhere and you see someone acting very nervous, is that a good form of body language to be mindful of and be cautious of?
Oh, yes, sir. That's coming up in just a few minutes in our micro observations. Is once I observe the individual, say, and I'm just using this as an example, say that they are in a very, very hot environment and they have two or three jackets on. I mean, what's going on? Or a person has a trench coat on. You know, from what we've seen from the past, from active shooters and things like that, that might be a telltale sign of there may be trouble here. I'm not saying they're doing anything wrong, but that's just a observation. I guess one of the better ways to describe body language is if you ever played poker before and you're trying to get the tail from the other person, do they have, you know, aces or whatnot? Mm-hmm. And it's pretty much the same type of idea. Next thing to look at, again, is shoes. What kind of footwear do the individuals have in and around you? And I know that sounds very strange, but does the person have tied-on shoes versus slip-on shoes? Has everything to do with performance, human's performance? The conduct indicators of how a person is conducting themselves is going to be a micro observation. So we've identified our environment. We've identified individuals that might cause us to take second, third, or fourth notice of them. And now we key in on those individuals to kind of now understand more about that person. Why is that person? Do I feel like they're a threat? Or why is this person on my radar, is a better way of saying it. Mm-hmm. So key on the individual. The major portions of keying on individuals is to get a general idea of them emotionally. Is the person sad? Obviously, a person standing there visibly weeping, are they doing that for attention? Are they really upset? I mean, these are things that we have to worry about in situational awareness. And we all want to help people. And I see somebody that's visibly upset, I might want to help them, but that very well could be, a way to lure you in even. Mm-hmm. And I've seen cases on that where people will act distraught to get people over there and then take advantage of them or lure them into an area where they control. So is the person sad? Obviously, we can visibly depressed. That's another issue. Unstable. A person who is acting unstable might be carrying on full conversations with themselves, yelling and screaming, acting inappropriately, loud, vulgar language for no reason whatsoever. I mean, I get it if you're running and you're singing along with the music and you're loud and you don't realize it. Maybe you're into your run or whatnot. But if you're just standing there being, you know, vulgar and screaming and yelling for no apparent reason whatsoever, that's a huge, gigantic red flag that I probably need to get out of here. Mm-hmm. Something's not going well for me.
Or they're on some sort of drug.
Oh, yeah, I don't want to be there either. Right? I don't want to be entangled up in that drama. So visibly animated. And visibly animated, I talk with my hands all the time, but there's a ways to talk in gesture, and then there's a ways to just be unstable with it. Making gestures and those kind of things is definitely not, and maybe those gestures are inappropriate, or maybe it looks like they're holding a pistol pointing at people. We see that a lot out there, is, you know, people trying to intimidate you through hand signals. A person who's angry, that's going to be more keyed in on telltale signs of I'm probably going to get more into trouble. And trouble means I have drama coming my way. And we talk about at the shop all the time, not being a drama piranha. You know, you got drama, you got to go. You don't need to be sitting there feeding on that drama. So a person who's angry, showing aggressive physical behavior, this could be huge, obvious, and slight. And in this presentation, I'm just kind of getting people to maybe take a better look at different things, right? There's not enough time on the show to go into each individual thing. That's for later, right?
We'll do a part two. We've got a couple of minutes left, Ron.
Yeah, okay, so clenched fists, clenched jaws, bladed posture. A person's talking to you. All of a sudden, they move into a bladed posture or what we call a fighting stance. And instead of being flat to me, all of a sudden, their body's bladed. Heavy breathing is big. You'll see activation of sympathetic nervous system. Not trying to be a big nerd, but just kind of get you to understand what's going on. Activation of sympathetic nervous system. You can't breathe good. Tightening, vasoconstriction, vasodilation. Vasoconstriction is going to make you tight, make your muscles tight. And now it's hard to breathe. And people are now using their muscles and their chest. You'll see their shoulders come up and down to breathe instead of just breathing normally like we are now. Staring with intent. I'm staring at you with intent, and my voice may be saying one thing, but my eyes are saying something completely different. Those are telltale signs. Emotional, them directly insulting you, direct threats to you, postures, those are things that are going to be huge indicators. The next thing is those are easy for us to read. Those are easiest for us to understand. Those are easy, what we call in the business, to articulate. I can write that stuff down. I can tell you what they were doing. But if the person is a real predator and they're really out with evil intent, it's probably not their first go around, and they're going to be very deceptive. They're going to be hiding those things. Their body posturing, their mannerism is going to be inviting. Their phrases, their tone is going to be very inviting. The eyes will usually give them away. What areas are they looking at when they're talking to you? Are they looking at your watch or looking at your rings? Those are telltale signs. I mean, overtly, I mean, I can just glance at your watch or glance at your ring. Hey, that's a nice watch. But when I'm staring at it and I'm talking to you and I keep staring, I keep going back to it, maybe that's an indicator. And again, all this stuff needs to be taken into context. Keep your head up looking around. Ms. Tammy talked about that. And to close this out, the number one thing when you look at situation awareness and you look at body language, gut feeling, that gut feeling, something's not right. I don't know what it is. It's time to go. And I think we do that a lot of times as we get so stuck into, I have to complete this mission and whatever that mission is. I have to go to this store and I have to get bread. I have to go here and I have to go there. I have to get some ball cleats. This is the mission I'm on. I've got to get this done. No, you don't. If I get there in the parking lot and I don't know, something feels creepy, it's cool. Just leave. Come back later. Go to another avenue. And I think we do not listen to our gut feelings enough as humans. Listen to those gut feelings. If it looks bad, it is bad. If it feels bad, it is bad. I think that's the number one thing for situation awareness. The number one thing for body language is if I see you, I identify something's not right. I may not put my finger on it, but it's not.
Yeah.
And now we get into the microaggressions. We get into which way you're looking, where your hands are, how you're blading your body more, what your arms are doing. Are they crossed? Are they open? Are your hands open to me? And those are all digging down in the trenches, being a super nerd. And of course, we teach classes on how to be a super nerd.
Well, those are all great things to be mindful of. Ron, I used to have former Chief Bobby Dodd on the Move Radio on a regular basis going back 5 or 6 years ago. And one of the things that he made the statement of one time, and I may not be exact on my words, but it stuck in my mind, and that was, if you don't cause any attention, you're not going to have any problems with us. And he said it in different words, but it reminded me as you were talking, is if you draw attention, your body language, that type of thing, people like yourself, people in law enforcement, you guys are going to recognize that. And that's when there could be some problems.
there's entire studies, and it's, again, super nerdy. I'm one of those guys. I like to nerd in on this stuff. But there's actually studies where they've actually interviewed people who assault or serial killers and those things. And how did you pick your victim? And it's very, very strangely entertaining, I guess you could say it in that kind of way. It's just, why did you key in on this person and not that? And that's a whole entire topic of the person did not look confident. The person looked like a victim.
Yeah.
And why? How do you look like a victim? Head down, not paying attention to your environment, preoccupied.
Yeah.
And it's really neat if people are interested in, there's studies out there. You can run down a really big rabbit hole in some information and look up and realize you've been researching it for 4 or 5 hours. That's usually what I do.
Well, Ron, thank you so much for joining us here on Split Second, and we will be having you on a regular basis because there's so many great topics that we're going to be able to share with people and make people out there aware, and we look forward to those conversations. All right, Tammy, any final words before we go today?
Nope. I told you he'd do a good breakdown there.
he surely did. There's no question about that. And, of course, we covered situational awareness part two and body language. And coming up on the next podcast, can you give us a tease to anything?
No, I really honestly can't because there are like four subjects I'm tossing around researching and making sure because I want some stats to go with them.
Yeah. A lot of great topics we're going to be covering here on Split Second presented by ZerkOps. All right, that's going to do it for this edition of Split Second presented by ZerkOps. Go to the ZerkOps Facebook for any suggestions or comments about today's podcast. Be sure to click on the subscribe button for all future podcasts. For Tammy Zerk, Ron Zerk, I'm Sean Whitfield. Thank you for listening.
Business owners, are you looking for something cool to do as a team building exercise for your employees? ZerkOps does this on a regular basis. You can customize your session to your specific group. Check us out at ZerkOps.com.